Hello and welcome to the Awakened Living Call. Hi everybody, this is Tristan.
And Sabrina.
And you know what? The show must go on. When you go live, you freaking go live. And we are alive because we're connecting to the power of love. This thing right here, right now, this wake-up call, it's all about checking in, ramping up your vitality, your clarity, and ultimately, more love. I don't know if you share this belief, but to me, the purpose of life is to fully awaken to the vibration of unconditional love. I said it, unconditional. And if you align with that belief, then these wake-up calls are designed specifically for you. They're to inspire and awaken more of that unconditional love. And today is no different than that. You know, around here, we like to say, be love, serve love,
make a difference.
And that's what's going down right here, right now. We've been sharing a lot about be love, right? Connect to the love, using things like Qigong and the different life force programs that many of you already have of ours. Getting out of the way, using meditation, clearing the mind, feeling that incredible joy and that love that just wants to flow through and just blow through and light you up. But then when you have so much love flowing through you, what do you do with it? You got to share it. You've got to serve that love. And we want to talk about serving love today. For us, serving love is about sharing love.
That's right, because love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away.
I love that. That's so cute.
I didn't make it up, honey.
But it's so cute when you sing it. Your little face is rhyming along. Be love, serve love, make a difference. Today we're going to talk about the power of service and serving this love. You know, I really believe no matter what the drama, no matter what the karma, it's all part of the Dharma. And maybe you've heard us say that before. The drama, the karma, it's all part of the Dharma. The Dharma is the path. It's the spiritual journey. It's the awakening journey. It's the process of using everything that this life gives us to wake up.
That's very powerful, actually.
You want to go with that?
Well, it's the karma plus
the drama.
The drama is all part of your mama. It's all part of the Dharma. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that got downloaded last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All over the floor.
No. Right into Facebook. That's something that's been coming up this week. You know, people have been talking about, I don't feel ready in whatever the capacity is, right? And I don't know if I have anything to share.
I don't feel worthy. I'm not sure I know how. About everything, whether it's giving advice, whether it's comforting someone, whether it's joining a group, leaving the house.
And I take that back. Not everyone is saying that, but it comes up for everyone at different stages in our journey.
Well, we've heard it far more than we realized
lately.
It existed.
Yeah.
In the past few weeks, these, you know, to me, beautiful people that I admire, that I see so much potential in, are saying, do you think I'm worthy to share? Do you think I have anything to give? Do you think I can do this? And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, why don't you see what I see?
That's because we get so close to it,
yeah.
And sometimes we miss it. And so we want to clear the way for all of us to fully awaken to the beauty and the power of who we are today. And that's for Tristan and that's for Sabrina too. Because there are always degrees. It's always relative. There are going to be different things at different stages where I'm going to feel that I'm not worthy of that. It just shows up. It's part of the egoic nature. So let's just, you know, knock it out today. Let's expose it for what it is. But really, that drama, if it shows up for you, and it will, hopefully, because that's how we grow, it is part of the Dharma. So Dharma is a path, right? It's like Budo. It's part of your spiritual journey. It's part of your awakening journey. And so you really want to use it. Now, in the journey of yoga, like traditional yoga, there's a term called karma yoga. So I think we all get what karma means, right? We're talking and playing with the words drama and karma today and dharma. So that just for those of you who may not be familiar with that term, I kind of don't think anyone's here that isn't, but in case, karma is sort of like a...
shall you reap.
Yeah, we could make it pretty much that simple. It's a bit of a bank account too, right? Like there's certain things that we may have invested in at different times, and people call that usually it's good karma. You're putting good energy into the bank account. And sometimes there's some other energies that are in this same account that are draining that good karma. And so our goal here with yoga, right, thus karma yoga, is to completely free ourselves from the good and the bad and just to be free. Unconditional love, right? So there's no more karma that we need to be dropping, if you will, or working on. Now, I'm not sure if it ever goes away, meaning the lessons and, you know, the seeming debt. But my, at least for me, Tristan, in this life, my goal is to try to purify the journey to the point that I'm really living the love.
And it's an energy thing. You could think of it simply like that, that when I come from goodness and I do goodness and it has a frequency of love and contribution, that frequency of energy draws to it things that are in harmony with it, right? And somebody could say, oh, that's karma. You know, oh, when you do good, good things happen to you, right? But it's not like, of course, a trade. You don't do something good or else it has the frequency of you're doing something good so you can get something. And that's what you'll get back, is somebody doing something good so they can get something back. But it's the energy. It's being in the energy that you want to get back to you.
So for this soul, Tristan, and I'm pretty sure for all of us, if I can just be so bold as to say we all have a dharma, which is to lean in to choosing love, to fully awaken to the vibration of love that we all are. And once we get past the preferences and the conditions and the karmas and the dramas, we will feel an expansiveness. We will feel a lifting up, if you will, an ascension into this incredible love. And now that love, I think it gets matured over time through being here as a human in a body, having lessons, having life. It keeps refining. Sometimes I'll say, you know, allow the bumps in life to push you into better position. Well, eventually they don't feel like bumps anymore. They almost feel like massages. They feel like a dance, right? It moves you, and you're in harmony. You are in concert with life. There's less reactivity. There's less resistance. There's less fighting, and there's more flowing. And so it's a beautiful journey. And one of the ways to get yourself into flow is to serve this love. Do you guys remember that old Bob Dylan song, "You're Gonna Have to Serve Someone"? It may be, and I think we used to play with the words, it can be your mind or it can be expansive love, but you got to serve something or you got to serve someone.
Yep.
Well, what are you serving?
Yeah.
And if we could just skip to the chase for a minute, I think we're just here to serve the energy of love.
Yep. I like to think that dharma is the particular maybe way that I will uniquely share love, as though it's my soul's nature in this lifetime to serve love in this way. It's my soul's service to love in this way. And it's looking for almost the divine law of the way and the gifts that I have and the situations that I have and everything that I've been through that allow me to share love through these particular actions with this particular message. That is my dharma. Like we could say everyone's dharma is to share love, but the way in which it is done, the actions that we choose, the flavor that it has, the way that we shape it and form it is individual. And I think that's why we all have different preferences. That's why we all have different gifts, different talents, different struggles.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of it.
Definitely.
Is what struggles have you been through that have shaped you into who you are? Like Tristan always says, we turned a bummer into a business.
Yeah, love-based business.
We wouldn't have our business if we hadn't. This isn't true. I started to say we wouldn't have our business if we didn't have the bummer, which was initially the back injury. We wouldn't have the business if we didn't choose
keyword
to see the bummer in that way.
We saw it as part of the dharma.
Yeah.
It got converted.
Like the black belt.
Well, when you look at a black belt, right, like I love sharing the black belt that I've worn for many years, and it's all ratty and fallen kind of apart, and you can see all the blacks wearing off.
And you tell the story that you start to become a white belt again.
Yeah.
So he shows how worn out it is. But when I first saw it, the first thing I thought is, I need to get him a new black belt because that one's just too worn out.
Isn't that funny?
So it's how we choose to look at it.
Look at it, right? Like I see scars as sacred.
Yeah.
Your scars are sacred. Right? Something that's been worn on, something that's gone through drama and trauma.
Yeah.
is actually probably more evolved through the lessons. That black belt has been ripped on and pulled on and sweated on. It's probably got some blood on it. I mean, and I am proud of that thing because that's my dharma, baby.
And it made you who you are.
Just like this chair I sit in. Sometimes I show the chair. It's worn out. All the stuff in the arms is gone. There's like screws underneath there.
Black electrical tape.
Yeah, but I call that my black belt in business.
Yep.
Because I see the work ethic, I see the effort, I see the journey.
Right.
Now we got to look at ourselves the same
way. But you choose, that's what we said a minute ago, it's the way we choose to see the bummer. Now when the bummer was happening, we weren't thinking, you know what, we're going to use this bummer and make a business out of it. No, we were like, this sucks. This, you know, this is tearing our lives apart. This is creating so much debt. This is hurting our relationships. This is not the life I was meant to have. This is not part of the plan. This is not fair.
That's right?
That's more what it felt like during the bummer.
That's right. Yeah, Bonnie, it's one of those deep massages like Rolfing where you're like, oh, and then you just sort of release into it and you're like, oh. That's how you ride the pushes and the bumps, right? So this is obviously resonating. Those of you who are in the Facebook community that are able to be here, you're like, you're digging the fact that scars are sacred, right? I feel you, Bonnie Bush, because and I look at some of the scars. I got this big one on my arm. I remember when I got run over by a boat. That was a big old bummer. But now, you know, that scar is sacred. It's beautiful. The lesson that I learned, I got out of the water, and I was bleeding, and everyone was freaking out, and it threw me into Satori. I was actually Mushin. I was no mind.
Right.
And I was holding my arm and guiding people how to get me to the hospital. When I was at the hospital, I was helping the doctors in the ER stitch my arm up. It was crazy. But the scars are sacred.
Right.
They're beautiful.
And the scars, many times, are not physical.
Yeah.
Right? When I love the pictures when they show, oftentimes, it's an Indian, an older Indian's face on the cover of, like, National Geographic.
Yeah.
And it's so
weathered. Yeah.
Weathered. But that's not what's beauty to me. It's the eyes.
Oh. God,
you see into the eyes of that person that you know is so wise and has been through so much.
Whew,
so the scars, like for me, dealing with an eating disorder for a decade years ago, the pain that I know that young girls have over not being good enough and not being perfect enough and hating themselves and not being able to sleep because, you know, judging, too much judgment and trying to be perfect and thinking there's no way out and spending so much time thinking about what you're going to eat, what you're not going to eat, how are you going to fit in the cardio, how are you going to punish yourself? You're loser, 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 you know. Remember I told Tristan I used to just roll over at night as I was turning from one side to the other, I would hear a voice in my head saying, you know, you big fat loser.
That's so crazy.
So and voices like, you had such potential. You had such potential.
So even you.
So I feel I can tap into that pain because it was so awful. And to me, that is an emotional scar that has healed and turned into great beauty. But I love that I have it because it gives me compassion, not only for people with eating disorders, whether it's anorexia or compulsive overeating or just plain old struggling with not liking the way we look, but it gives me compassion for trying to turn off that voice in our head that we started today's call talking about that thinks, am I even worthy to share anything? Because I'm not really that good. And so that scar to me was one of the biggest ones that has given me compassion in this life because without feeling that pain, if someone told me, I think I'm fat, and they weren't, I'd just be like, oh, shut up. You look fine. That'd be it.
Right.
I would have no idea. I would have no idea what addiction feels like. So having that scar lets me relate to many types of addicts because I was an addict to thought, and I'm sure that in some way, you have an emotional scar, something you uniquely went through that lets you connect to so many people in ways that you never could have before.
It's such a beautiful journey to be on in this moment right here, right now, in this conversation, if you happen to be listening. and you're feeling like this is a message that you need to hear, then you get to acknowledge, I would choose to acknowledge at least, that there's a divine orchestration in this life. And that divine orchestration is helping us and guiding us. If you remember the poem of footprints, right? The man or woman walking down the beach and seeing themselves holding, you know, the hand of God or the divine, right, at these stages in their life. And then there's this stage where they hit that low point and they are looking at this journey of life, and there's only one set of footprints during that time. And they're having a conversation with the divine about this. They're like, look, what's up? At the lowest point in my life, you left my side. I'm, look, it's me walking along on my own. And the divine is right there so lovingly, compassionately saying, oh, my dear, my sweetheart, that was the time in your life when I was carrying you. Oh, I mean, that one always just gets me. That's the divine that is there. It never leaves us. That's your soul. That's my soul. That's our soul, mm-hmm. that is always there on this journey of the Dharma. It is using everything, even those lowest times. It never leaves our side. Mm-hmm. It's inside. It can't go anywhere. It's inside and it's all around. And it's using, if you will, an orchestration of challenge, of bumps, of conflict, of whatever, to help awaken this love. And so if we can awaken to the be loved that we are, then I believe, and I think you do too, that we're supposed to give it back and share it forwards. Because in the sharing, it does two things. Number one, it helps you relinquish that bank account that mm-hmm. you may owe a little something on, right, the karma, because by giving back, by being selfless and unconditional, and helping others, service, be love, serve love, service, you're freeing yourself even more, and you're helping others to evolve as well, mm-hmm. just like the divine or friends or mentors have yep. been doing for us. It's so important. It's such an important part of the journey to share. Okay. So I just want to say one last thing. There's a part of the mind that doesn't want to share because it continues to say, well, I'm not ready yet. Yeah. And I just want you to know that that part of the mind might even be saying, when you're ready, we'll do it. So let's get ready. And that's a big fat liar, because that conversation will never turn around and go, hey, guess what?
You're ready.
Let's go. You're ready. It's never going to say that.
Never.
It's always going to say tomorrow.
Yep.
We're not, who am I? I'm not an expert. I don't know.
Soon.
Yeah. I'm going to get in shape so I can join the gym.
Soon.
Come on. Yep. It's not going to happen.
And you know what happens that's really sad is, like with your father, Peter, the big lesson for us is I'm not ready tomorrow, soon, you may not have a tomorrow and you may not have a soon, because one day none of us will. And that's why, you know, do it before you're ready. That's how you get ready, by doing it. For me, sharing love is the essence of love. That's what it is. And it's what our souls not only desire, but require. It's a requirement of your soul. It's a requirement of your Dharma. It's why we're here, right? Of course, I mean, I'm speaking to the choir. We're not here to just be takers,
mm-mm.
right? It's got to be yin-yang.
That's right.
Give and receive.
Well, there's something very interesting about that whole taking thing, because I don't consider myself a taker, right? I feel like I'm a giver. But if you're staying stuck in limiting thoughts and beliefs that you have nothing to share or to serve, then in a way that's kind of like being a taker too, because you're taking away growth opportunities that you could be providing to others. Hear that again. You're taking away growth opportunities that you could be providing to others. Because in your growth and your sharing, you're helping them. You may not think you have anything, but you do. You are a unique corn, a unique acorn. Your journey is not supposed to look like anyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
It is unique to you, and it is yep. a gorgeous flowering. This life is a gorgeous flowering.
Mm-hmm.
And don't waste time don't use up this precious life force energy and waste any time in waiting to get ready.
Yep.
Selfless service is now.
Yep. Love it. Love, love, love it.
It's an extension.
Because if I look at all the times in my life, or all the times every day, that I start to hold myself back, why? Why? What is it? How do I justify it? Because there's never a moment that I could easily say, well, I'm scared. Well, what does that mean? What is I'm scared? What is fear? Right? It's just maybe an absence of love. But if I dig deeper, what I find is that I have a false belief about it. Right? I have a false belief that if I do this thing, these other things might happen. It's like a rule. So I make a rule for myself. Well, then I don't do that. I'm the kind of person who does this and doesn't do that.
Right.
I'm the kind of person that feels this but doesn't feel that. I like these kinds of situations, but I don't like those kinds of situations. Now, all of those are rules that I make up about myself, just like the black belt. It's the way I choose to see it, and maybe the way that I chose to see something before I was as expanded as I am now, but I made a rule about it back then. When I was 4 years old, I went to a preschool because I wanted to start school early because my big brother Larry got to go to school. So my mom let me go to preschool because I wanted to get on a bus. Really, that's why, because Larry got on a bus in the morning and I thought that I wanted to get on a little school bus. So she let me go before I started kindergarten to like a private preschool. And I have so many memories, way more than I have from kindergarten, and probably a lot of my grammar school years from that preschool class. I remember I could draw the classroom. I could draw where the tables are, and I could show you which table I sat at. The tables were tables of six, like a rectangle, and I sat on the end of one. And I remember so vividly not fitting in, not knowing what to really say to the other kids, and feeling like they all did. I was four. What four-year-old knows what to say? And so I would cross my arms and put my head down, like putting your head down on your desk, and I would bite my arm and kind of and suck it, I don't know why, until it made like a hickey bruise. And somehow that was very soothing to me because it gave me something to do when they were talking and I didn't know how to fit in. I'd put my head down and make one of those marks on my arm. And I remember looking at what some of the other little girls were wearing at four and wondering if what I had on was okay. And I remember deciding then that I didn't fit in. And I had a little tiny doll. It was Thumbelina. You pulled a little string and she wiggled. And my mom was so amazing. She made my clothes and she would make Thumbelina a matching dress. So at least I always had Thumbelina with me. And so I had a friend and I would use like a hat. I would wear like a little winter, I don't know what you call it, kind of just a piece of crocheted fabric that goes over your head and ties under your chin. But I could make it into a hammock for Thumbelina and have her by on the table next to me. So I remember that a lot of pain of not fitting in, and I don't like groups, and I don't know what to say, and I'm not cool at four.
Wow.
I mean, how many cool four-year-olds have you met? They're all pretty cool.
This deep mind.
But I see that I carried that thought with me, of course, right into grammar school and felt very socially awkward, except when I was in acting class or dance class or art class or singing class, because then it felt like everybody was the same for some reason. But outside of those particular environments, there was such self-consciousness. So I kept that rule with myself, and I even see it many times now when I go on trips when we go on trips and we're supposed to be somewhere, how many times do I try to get out of it? Tristan, you go and talk for us. I'm just going to stay here. And I have to self-reflect and say, wait a minute, am I following that rule I made up at 4?
Uh-huh.
And am I missing an opportunity to give of myself to people in this room, maybe something that I have to share with them? Because usually my brain will say, they're all really smart and successful.
So I think we all have this. I have it too. And you all know I have the gift of gab, right? And I have lots to say. But I have that same hiccup. Like in the beginning, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be quiet. I mean, even in those masterminds, my mind goes, you don't really have anything to share.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Or even like, oh, they're going to feel sorry for us.
We're not good enough or
that's
something.
That's just the thought that I have.
It's so crazy.
So these rules that we make up that no longer are real, they were never real, but now we've grown out of them, and yet those are the rules that we use, limited beliefs that sabotage our opportunities for growth, abundance, businesses, relationships.
I'm 13 years old over again and again and again. I'm sitting in a room getting ready to get up and give my book report, and I'm scared you know what. And that same voice wants to show up. And I have to catch it and mental kung fu it, right? Catch it, recognize it, then I have to refute it. And I remember pretty quickly after I release it, how many times have you shared and something beautiful has come through? And because in the sharing, it has helped others. So don't be selfish right now. Like, I actually have to go through that little dialogue sometimes. I have all kinds of tricks I use.
Yeah, me too.
I call this no fear, but not N-O, K-N-O, no fear, like study fear.
K-N-O-W.
Known.
Oh.
Did I miss something? K-N-O-N. No? W. You're right. Again, you are the winner.
You know what? You're 13 and you can't spell either.
See, I should just get off this call right now. I have no business speaking or teaching. Listen to this silliness. So it's that, right? No fear. And then if I study it and understand it, it can't trap me or trip me up or trigger me anymore. Like right now, it's funny. I'm going to laugh at me. So that's one of my tools is just like have a really good laugh at when you go, something stupid.
I'm laughing because I would rather do math in the air than spell in the air. So I totally relate.
Phonetic spelling or whatever. it's not my forte. But I tell you what, every single one of us has those voices. I'm pretty sure. And if you've, countered it in this life, awesome. Or if you've released it and you've upgraded it. Now, I have all these other programs I can run. I can reframe in a second. But the best of the best of the best is simply to remember, I'm worthy of love for no reason at all, mm-hmm. And I'm allowed to share. I'm allowed to share because sharing is caring, for real. And so I just then allow myself to get out of the way, and I remember one thing. I promise you this is the solution to all of it. Just choose love. Be love, serve love. If you just care, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to know all the answers. Just choose love because you are a caring human being. Mm-hmm. You're a giver, not a taker. People will love you. They will respect you. And those who don't, bye-bye. That's what we always say. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're not in my tribe. Bye-bye. Those who are in your tribe, they
hello.
Will come. Hello. They're going to come and sit by your side and love on you and support you, right?
Yeah.
And it is so comforting. And it feels so good to open our mouths and share.
Mm-hmm.
That's karma yoga.
Yeah.
That's the path.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep. Really beautiful. Yeah, in those moments, when those rules come up from our childhood, those limitations, and it doesn't feel good when it happens, you can ask yourself, as I do this, what would faith have me do? What would love have me do?
Yeah.
And if I believed I was worthy, what action would I take? And if I believed I had something to say, what would I say? And if I knew what to do, what would I do? Hmm. So there's ways to kind of trick that rule at first.
Guide yourself.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, if you did know what to do, what would you do? If you believed, what would you do? Because we were laughing just about an hour ago about the term that we like to say. We say it's our spiritual practice, right? Our faith is a practice.
Yeah.
And I said, well, then we should practice it.
Yeah.
Right? You have to practice having faith. You have to practice
being on your path.
Your Qigong. You have to practice changing the rules, because there are no rules, right? There are no rules. It's all the way we look at things. My rule is Tristan needs a new black belt because that one's a little worn out. His rule is the more worn out it is, the better, right?
Amen.
I mean, I don't really think that, but
at first,
that's just a good example.
You're funny.
Yeah.
So we all feel fear, and just do it anyway. Share anyway. Remember, sharing is, it's like the yin with your yang. Receiving, giving, right?
Yeah.
Receiving love, being love, sharing love, serving love. And I've noticed this in my journey, and I've gotten over that fear, and I've started sharing more, and guess what happens? You start to expand very quickly when you start to share and give more. And I've seen it in our dojo and in our community. There are those beings here who are in a place of sharing. They've gotten to this giving and caring place.
Yep.
Now, there are some who overshare that want so badly to teach and to be a bit preachy.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that from time to time. And that's not what I'm talking about. I don't mean,
right,
like, you got to share. I'm just saying it's a natural overflowing that's part of the yin and the yang. Now, some people are also in the receiving phase,
yeah,
and they're not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But what they're going to find is if they can create opportunities to be selfless and do little things, and the sharing doesn't necessarily have to be speaking. The sharing
right,
can be an action that you might take, preparing something for someone, doing a little thing without wanting anything back
listening
from it.
Listening
that
can
could
be sharing.
That can be, right? So this is service. But for some of us, it is time to share more. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's time. And so today's session, if you will, is a gentle, loving nudge to allow that part of your dharma to unfold now, because your mind will never be ready. Your mind will have fear. Do it anyway.
And the great bonus is that when we're coming from a place of sharing and giving, whether it's eye contact, words, and action, it's a sign to the universe that we know we are overflowing with goodness. We are overflowing with love. We have so much that we can give. And then if you take that back to what we were talking about with karma earlier, whatever vibrational frequency you're putting out, you get more of that. The more you give of yourself, the more you give of your soul, the more you give what your soul desires and requires, the more you get.
That's really
is true. It's the best investment you can ever make. It's way better than 20%.
It is the most beautiful thing. I remember being with you, Sabrina, years ago, and we'd get together with friends, and sometimes people would go around the room and share their experience. And I remember in the beginning, I was really quiet and just listening. And I get that. So we just want to absorb and receive. And that's good. I think that's an important phase in the journey. It's just sometimes, you know, people will come in, they're like, oh, I want to teach everything that I know already. It's like, your cup's already kind of full. We can't put any more tea in your cup. You should just chill out for a while and receive. So if you find, I want this call to be very aligned with where you're at. I don't want to push, we don't want to push anyone into feeling like you're supposed to be doing more than what feels natural. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to look at this aspect of your journey and your dharma and go, I have been absorbing and receiving and through osmosis growing, and I think it's time for me to allow that yin yang start to overflow now, because it's building.
Yeah.
And I actually see that with we did this 3-day event this week. God, can you believe that was this week? And there are a lot of people.
The 3-day love based business camp.
Now it has nothing to do with business. Seriously, we were talking about this morning. Like, business? What's that? Like, that's just such a funny word to us. It's all dharma.
Yeah.
It's all sharing and service. Mm-hmm. Business? Oh, yeah, that's some operational stuff that you have to do, and you got to put a name on it, and you got to go and get, you know, your documents in order, blah, 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 so you can serve. But it's not that word business. Don't let that shut you down. We're talking just literally about sharing love, okay? That's what it is. And I saw this week that there were a lot of people that showed up for that, because they are already experiencing that overflow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get also they want to generate a healthy income in their life, but they're looking for a way to contribute,
yeah,
to be of purpose in, yeah, this life, to find that mission for their soul. And, mm-hmm, some are saying, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to, yeah, show up anyway, and I'm just going to put one foot in front of the next, and we'll see what happens.
Yep.
And that's awesome,
yep,
and that requires trust. That requires trusting your soul and taking a step, even if you're afraid.
Yep.
It's coming.
I don't think there is anything for me more satisfying and more fulfilling than a moment that I know in the slightest of ways or in the grandest of ways I have helped somebody or touched their life and made a difference. For me, that's for me, right? So on the outside, it could look like, I had a student this week. She's a sweetheart. She doesn't talk very much in class, and she actually takes my dance fitness class, and she's taken it for over 10 years. Like two or three times a week she comes. And she usually arrives late. She often leaves a little early. I think she's a real estate agent, so she takes phone calls during the class sometimes. But after class this week, she said, you know, I looked over all of my bills with my husband as we were doing our taxes, and he saw what I pay for dance fitness. And he said, wow, you know, this is a lot. It's more than going to Gold's Gym. And he told me that. She said, you just stop it right now. You just stop it right now. I don't see a therapist anymore. I don't go to a chiropractor. I don't need massages. And I'm not a bitch. and she's really sweet. She's Mormon. She's very straight-laced.
I love it.
And she told me this story, and she just said, I just want you to know that when I take your class, I have the freedom that I had when I was 6 years old in dance class. It's the happiest I am all day. All my troubles fall away. And I love this so much. Mm. And her telling me that, I felt so amazing to make an environment that someone could come into. And it looks like I'm teaching fitness, right?
Yeah. If
that's not what she said. She said, I don't see a therapist.
Yeah.
I'm the happiest I am.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it is with all the different businesses I've been in is, You create spaces and places for people to be of joy.
To be who they are.
Sometimes just a safe place.
I love it.
Yeah, and I love it, and I love that feeling. So when we were talking to these people about starting their own businesses, it could seem like you need to sell things and help those people, right? But what I know is that the joy of being able to overflow and share gifts and talents, things that I don't even see as a talent. That's usually what you're the greatest at, the thing in you that you can't see because it's so easy for you.
So that's bringing it back to that good, beautiful line in the song. It may be you got to serve something. It can be your mind or your fears, or it can be this love, but you got to serve something. So let's all keep serving more love. Be love, serve love. Be love, serve love. It's the perfect dance. It's the perfect reciprocation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perfect flow. We can't be of service if we're not taking care of ourselves. That's the beauty of the work we're doing here in this VIP club, in the dojo, is we're working with life force energy. We're keeping ourselves healthy. We're keeping ourselves aligned. We're connecting to flow. Those of you who were on the pre-call in the beginning, there was some technological blah, 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 right? And that can shut people down.
Yeah.
But did you notice that when I hit record and we went live, what happened?
I noticed.
I just do what I do. I know like I know like I know who I need to be when I hit go. You all were kind of, those of you who were in the beginning, were there like behind the curtain. with me getting ready. Like, oh, you see the hibbity-jibbities, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to go out, and, or whatever, right? And you're doing your moves, and you're tapping, and you're flowing, and then you step on that stage, just boom, it's on, it's showtime, baby.
Right.
And that's life.
You were practicing.
Yeah.
That was your spiritual practice. You were practicing being in spirit. You were practicing service.
So do the work behind the stage and do what you got to do to take care of you and love on you. And at the same time, it's all part of it. It's not really a rehearsal. It's all happening now. It's all live.
Yep.
And then when it's time to flip the switch on and pull the curtain up, like be total. Don't be halfway with your sharing and your giving, your loving, your teaching, your whatever. Like really own you. That, and some people are like, I'm not an expert. You know what? Just start sharing and being and serving, and more will be shown, and expertise will be developed. You do not need to be like all the people going through the Qigong certification right now. They don't need to be Qigong masters. They don't need to be black belts. They need to know enough that they can help others. They need to care enough that they can help others. They need to know that they love themselves so that they can walk the talk and always come back to love.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be a black belt.
Yep.
They don't have to be a ninja master.
Right.
And you don't have to be a friggin' expert. You just have to love and care, and your expertise will grow.
Yep.
Mic drop.
I love that.
There it is.
A beautiful exercise is to take a day, and as you move through your day, just keep hearing, how can I serve,
yep,
or how can I share love? And as I move through my day, I sort of know my routine. There will be moments at Trader Joe's. It might be a brief moment that I can share love. I have so many people come up to me often and tell me, like people that work in stores, at Trader Joe's, woman came up and gave me a dozen roses that works in the flower department. And she said, I just want to give you these flowers because when you come in here, you always say hello to me. You always acknowledge me. And you're smiling. Right? So I shared love. And she felt it. I saw her. Sometimes sharing love is just letting someone know you see them.
Beautiful.
I mean, that's one of my favorite things. I love doing that. And you do too now. I mean, people will think we're the friendliest Austinites ever because we've really started.
Yeah, being love.
Yeah, seeing people and letting them know that they are seen instead of, you know, I could walk into a gym with blinders on and just pretend I don't see anybody, not talk to anybody. I remember when I lived in New York, I used to wear a headset, like earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
Plugged into a
to cut everyone
to a
out.
Walkman.
Oh, right.
But I didn't really turn it on.
You wanted to be left alone.
I just didn't want anybody to talk to me. But I didn't turn it on too, so I was safe.
Right. Good, because I would scold you for that.
Yeah. But that, even that, I just want to express how it's the smallest of things. It's a smile. It's a look. It's a kindness where you feel like I loved. And at the end of the day, when you say in different moments, how can I serve? How can I practice loving? How can I practice loving? And you'll see all of these choices that you make that you may not have noticed otherwise. And then the more that we practice that, it just becomes who we are.
So sweet. So what a flow has come through. If you've got a notebook in front of you and you happen to be online with us right now, look at your notebook, and was there something that you wrote down from the session that sparked an idea, a satori, something that was relevant for you? Go ahead and share that while we're here, because if you haven't already, because that can be very helpful for folks coming in later, looking at the recording, et cetera, and just also to document for your deeper mind, yep, that's what's important. Whoops. It's okay. It's not the same thing. Sabrina was about to scold me for knocking on the desk. We have this microphone, and every time she taps on the desk.
When we're doing a live stream.
We're doing a live stream.
It seems to be a habit I
it's
have
like a
when,
hammer.
When I'm being emphatic. I tap the desk along with my words, and on the recordings, it's like tap, 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 tap.
Nice. Barb shared, my mind will be scared. Do it anyway. Keep those coming through. That's a great takeaway.
Even the way that when you're attending something live and you're in a chat group and you share, that is sharing love.
Yeah.
You're participating, your contribution, You know, I never want to see any way of sharing as small. I know that the more that I share, and I've really, really worked on this the past few years because my personality's preference is to be quiet and to be a taker, a listener.
I didn't mean to shut anyone down with that. But you have to be mindful of that, right? Like,
yeah.
I was a taker on top of the mountain. I went up on the mountain to meditate into enlightenment, and I started becoming selfish.
Yeah.
That's a taker, right? So on the flip side of this, always remember, because like you guys probably see us, we talk and share through our community and through our lessons a lot, but we equally must do the be love part. We do self-care. We exercise, we sleep, we work out, we qigong, we meditate, we do all that stuff so that
we qigong.
So that the cycle is balanced.
We qigong.
The cycle has to be balanced, right? Because if you just start giving, and mommies sometimes feel that, they can not have time for themselves, right? Or daddies can feel that, or people can feel that. So it's just a beautiful balance, everybody, and so beautiful to watch all of you waking up in your unique way. It's lovely to watch this journey and be a part of your journey. You inspire us so much with the way you support each other in the community. You're such giving, loving, sharing souls. And so this message that came through today is a reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
We're already doing it. Beautiful. And if we've just been in the receiving, absorbing mode, cool. But just to kind of paint the picture behind the mantra of be love, serve love, make a difference, we wanted to share this message today just so that it's out there and people understand that they are both an important part of the equation. And that's really what we wanted to bring across today. So I'm seeing some gorgeous posts coming through. Bonnie said, my takeaway was that by not sharing, I'm a taker. And yeah, I mean, in a way, we're just holding back, right? But the flip of that is, well, you're kind of taking it from someone that really kind of needs to hear it. And how many times have you said something and someone has said, oh, my God, that's exactly what I needed to hear?
I know. And most
right?
of the time you're like, really? I didn't think it was that
great. I almost
great.
Didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I opened my mouth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the beauty of that statement. That's gorgeous, Bonnie.
Because if you stay in your soul, right? What I said earlier, the soul desires and requires that you share love. And when you stay aligned with your soul, whatever you feel called to share will be what the receiver needs, whether you really even know it or not, because you're so aligned with your Dharma. That's why I don't worry like I used to worry, because I have practiced being more and more aligned in the sharing of my soul. It's soul sharing. Some people do soul cycle. We do soul sharing.
That's right.
That it's my practice that I'm confident that what comes through is what is needed to come through, and it will come through perfectly to the people that are there, the perfect people that need to hear it. And the more that I practice having faith in that, the more that is the case, the more that is the truth.
Okay, sweet friends, clock time says it's coming to that point. So it's time to fully trust that we have everything we need. We're worthy of love for no reason at all. We will attract that which we need in our lives if we just trust. Take that step, then the next step, then the next step. You don't need to know all the answers. Just choose love. Choose love every single day. Serve love. Share love. Let it be part of your Dharma. And allow the karma and the drama to nudge you forwards, because it's part of it. It's beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Thank you, everyone, for your gorgeous sharings that are coming through. Thank you for your energy. That's important. I want to acknowledge your energy. It contributes. Okay, Sabrina has a song.
Now's the time to say goodbye to our sweet family. VIP, CLUB, we love you.
SAT.
ORI.
SAT.
ORI.
Forever we will be in.
Hi.
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 Oh, my goodness. And there it is, friends, the spontaneity of the moment.
It's exactly what you needed to hear.
We love you. Thank you. Have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day. Whenever you're listening to this in the universe, may it have touched your soul, and keep on sharing the love. Until next time, much love.
Bye.